Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. When St. Paul writes, have this mind among yourselves, he's referring to that inner compass that we all have that points the direction for our lives to take. Paul says that our inner compass is to be set to the same coordinates as the mind of Christ, because after all, the mind of Christ points to true north. The course of his life is led in perfect alignment with the will of God the Father. Every other course in life than this course is off course. And to be off course, as we know, even just a degree or two, is to be totally lost. Paul details the course that the mind of Christ follows so that we may set our minds to the same course. He made himself nothing. Now that's a strange course to take in one's life. But what makes this course towards nothingness even more strange is where the life began. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. Apart from him, nothing was made that has been made. He was in the form of God and did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He who is everything and who has everything and who holds all things together by the power of his word emptied himself of everything and became nothing. Let's be sure that we do understand what Paul is saying and what Paul is not saying here. But what Paul is not saying is that Jesus had it all and then he lost it due to some unfortunate circumstances beyond his control. Or that the stock market took an unexpected downturn and he lost all that he had. Or that someone robbed him of all that he is and has, even his own reputation. No, Paul is saying, this was the mind of Christ, that he who had everything and who himself is everything set his mind on a course to become nothing. He made himself nothing. That's purposeful. That's deliberate. That's intentional. And that is perfectly obedient to the will of his Father. What parents will for their child is that they should become nothing. And yet, this was the Father's will for his only begotten and dearly beloved Son. And the Son testifies, I and the Father are one. The Son has the same mind as the Father. So where's your mind? What's your mindset these days? To what do the coordinates of your inner compass point? St. Paul says, have this mind among yourselves. And then he points us to the mind of Christ, who made himself nothing. Is that the direction and the goal that you have set for your life? Do you have the mind of Christ? Needless to say, the attitude that characterizes our generation, which is no different than any other generation, is not the mind of Christ. Our minds are set on self-improvement, self-gratification, self-advancement, self-esteem, and self-preservation. Our minds are set on making something out of ourselves and out of our lives, not on making nothing out of ourselves. We make the decisions and the choices that we do based on how it will benefit us. How will this benefit me? What are my benefits? Do they come in a package? Or do I realize them one by one? How will I grow from this? How will this make me a better person? Instant gratification is always to be preferred. We like to be rewarded in a timely fashion. I'll wait if I have to, but it better be worth the wait. We'll sacrifice and we'll suffer, but not for nothing. There better be a payoff here eventually. I mean, isn't that just what the scriptures say? Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. See? It's not for nothing. Even our self-denial is for self-improvement. Lent is all about self-denial. For 40 days and for 40 nights, we deny ourselves chocolate and ice cream and caffeine and alcohol. Why? Because it's good for us, and we need to lose a few, and we need to cut back a bit. We don't even serve others for nothing. We serve because it's good for us. We gain the experience from it. It looks good on the resume. It helps our children appreciate what they have. There's always a personal benefit to it. It's never for nothing. We carry this same mind that we have toward ourselves and towards others right over into our attitude towards God. We pray that God would give us a big fat raise or a better job. Then we'll be able to support the church more. If you believe and you know just how to do it, you can be healed too. You too can be set free from all of your addictions. You too will prosper. Joel Osteen preaches that if you really believe, then you can begin to live your best life now. All this is great psychology and interesting sociology, but it is not Christianity, because it does not have the mind of Christ, who made himself nothing. Christ did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but Adam and Eve did. They grasped at the chance to be like God, and so do we. Christ, our Lord, had equality with God firmly in his grasp, and he opened his hands and he let it all go. Nothing is what he became. And nothing does not mean a little something or less of something that I am or that I have the right to be. Nothing means nothing followed by nothing, not something. It's not Lent that is followed by Easter, but Lent that is followed by Lent. Nothing means one cross after another, after another, after another, after another, with no end in sight, no light at the end of the tunnel, no reward or payoff in the end. Nothing is all giving, no receiving. All self-sacrifice, no personal benefit to it. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who made himself nothing. Standing before the cross of Jesus Christ and him crucified, we see the one who did not benefit from his humiliation. He did not empty himself for himself. He who is the righteousness and the holiness of God chose to become sin and the condemnation of God. He who is life and the giver of all life chose death. He who is all in all made himself nothing at all. Christianity is no more a religion of self-improvement than it is a religion of self-righteousness. Before the cross, we all fall short of the selfless humility of the Son of God. Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed. The cross leaves all of us naked and terribly ashamed. In the face of this divine self-denial, all of our self-denial evaporates into thin air. In seeing Christ crucified, we see ourselves as we truly are. We do not make ourselves nothing. Before the cross of Christ, we see that we are nothing. Standing before the one who emptied himself, we see how full of ourselves we really are. We still want to be like God. And just like God, we want to make something out of nothing, something that only God can do. Crucifixes remind us of what we would much rather forget. We don't want a crucifix on the altar. It's far too graphic. We want a cross without a crucified Christ on it. An Easter cross is okay, not a Good Friday cross, because it makes us uncomfortable. It does nothing for our self-esteem. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? No, but if we were, we would have said the same thing as those who were there shouted, "Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him." What a waste. He had so much potential. But he remains on the cross, and he will not come down. Even in heaven, he is the Lamb who was slain. Even in heaven, there will be no escape from the crucified Christ. So the cross is the winnowing fork that separates the wheat from the chaff. Here's where the good fish and the bad fish are sorted out, one from the other. The cross of Christ makes either believer or unbeliever. It's either the cornerstone or the stumbling stone. The Pharisee fixes his eyes on others and thinks that he is doing just fine before God. Thank you very much. The tax collector fixes his eyes on the cross and he can't stand himself and he pleads that God would be merciful with him. I know that we think that personal success or personal tragedy brings a person to faith in Jesus Christ. The truth is, it never does. The surge in church attendance after 9/11 lasted about a month. Unbelievers who inherit great fortunes do not run to church to give their tithe in thanksgiving to the Lord. Miracles have never created faith in the heart of anyone, and they never will, no matter how hard we pray. The rich man in hell cried out to Abraham to warn his brothers to repent and believe. But Abraham answered, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone were to rise from the dead." The Roman soldiers and the Jewish authorities all knew that the tomb that Christ was laid out in was empty and that Christ was alive. And yet, they still refused to believe it. An Easter Christian is no Christian at all. Christ crucified makes Christians, not Christ raised from the dead. The cross is where we see the love of God poured out upon our pathetic lives for nothing, for we do not benefit him. The cross is where we see the Son of God empty himself for nothing, for you and I do not add one iota to his life. The reading of the Passion of our Lord that we just heard stopped with the crucifixion and the burial of Christ. That is enough. 3 days before the resurrection, Christ already declared, "It is finished." Lent is not the time that it takes to get ready for Easter. Lent is an end in itself. It brings us to the cross of Christ crucified. And we dare not rush past it because it makes us uncomfortable, or because it strips all of our dignity and self-worth and makes us feel so ashamed. For here, hanging from the nails and mocked by all who pass by him, we see Jesus, our precious Lord, our beautiful Savior, who made himself nothing and entered into the nothingness of our lives so that in him we might find meaning as nothing else has meaning. Here, hanging from the accursed tree, we see our beloved King, who has entered into our self-made hell to bring us to heaven that he has made for us all to dwell with him there. Here, the Son of God makes himself nothing, and in his nothingness we have everything. In the name of Jesus.